Emily, you should feel pretty good that Chris has a worse pizza habit than you do. Esli, I didn't even know that a car pizza was a thing that you could do. I didn't even know the box would open on the way home. I thought it was like hermetically sealed until you came through the front door. This is a game changer.
It's very popular. It started in Europe. This was something in Europe, and it's kind of slowly worked its way overseas, and it's now really a hit now, and I guess in Southern California. What happens when it's in the middle of the summer, and it's, you know, you got some of those nights where it's already 84 degrees at night, and then when you wake up in the morning and it's already disgusting, the pizza's just sitting there through the evening? Not like it's
sure, it's
November.
Fine.
It warms it up for you. You guys are talking to me
sure
about how I don't warm it up. If you leave it in the car, it warms it up for you.
That's disturbing. Like there are things you can eat in the car, right? Like you can eat
sushi,
conceivably.
Sashimi,
probably in the
ramen.
Yeah,
ramen, a full bowl of ramen with chopsticks on the 110.
Yeah, you could have a burger in the car. Like DeMarco taught us a few months ago that DeMarco likes the quarter pounder because it comes in the box and you actually never have to take the burger out of the box. You just stick your face into the box as you eat the burger. So that's kind of fun. But I'm no judgment here. I'm gonna go get a car pizza at some point today. This is something that absolutely is gonna happen. Look, I'm pretty pleased that what have we been on the air now? A couple of minutes, tops.
Yeah.
That I've remembered what I wanted to say because I think I'm going through something right now.
Oh, you lost it, bro.
And I'm hoping it's just I think it's just one of those days, but there have been two separate occasions where one, we were talking this morning, the group, and then I said to you this, and I just totally forgot what I was going to say. Just totally left my head. It happens once in a while, right? No big deal. Then, right before we came on the air, I said, you didn't have your headset on. I said, hey, you know, Al, and you put your headset on, and I'm like,
I kind of rolled my eyes like, what is this dude want? We got 4 minutes till the show starts.
I've got I completely lost two thoughts. Yeah. They haven't. Usually you forget something, it comes right back. Once you stop thinking about it, it comes right back in your head. Mm-hmm. They're gone forever. I have no idea what I was going to ask you. I have no idea what I was going to tell you. So if in the middle of the show today I just stop talking or start rambling, I'm going to need one of you guys to send an ambulance to my house because apparently I'm going crazy.
Let me set it up here. What you said was, hey, Al, and then, you know, I could hear it through the – I didn't have my headset on, but I could hear it through the speaker, put it on. I'm like, yeah, Trav. And you're like, oh, shoot. And then you're like, God dang it. And then that was it. That was a conversation. And then there was no other that was all that we had there. So I'm glad I was able to help.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting day. It's going to be I've now that I have car pizza on the brain, it's probably not going to be one of my best shows. I'm deeply distracted and conflicted about ordering a pizza for my next car ride. Will they deliver it like to where an intersection? Like if I said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to be at the 5 in Crown Valley. Can you meet me there say around 3:30?" They'll just fling it through the window like a frisbee. How does do I have to get it to the house and then go on a ride?
Morales question. I'm not sure.
I think you can just put like longitude and latitude into DoorDash. Be like,
not
hey,
bad.
Maybe right here.
Not bad. Yep. Yeah, that'd be
pin your location.
Precise, right?
Okay, I got a question.
I don't like that, by the way. I don't like when people drop the pin. Oh, meet me here. Drop pin. Just tell me where you are and I'll find it. Stop telling me that you'll drop me a pin. Say, I will meet you at the entrance to Dodger Stadium on the Loge level on the left field line. I know where that is. Don't drop a pin on me.
100%. People have dropped pins, and I don't even know what to do with it. I'm going in the wrong direction, so I'm with you on that. I got a quick question for you. Have you noticed during the show, let's say the last maybe couple of weeks, okay, am I just kind of abnormally making a lot of poker references?
You've made a few. Like, okay. Put it to you this way.
Okay, maybe not abnormally, but yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been in context of the conversation. They've been appropriate. But I will say this. I did not know that you were a poker person until about 2 weeks ago. And now you've referenced poker a handful of times in the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think that's fair. Why?
Okay.
Are you playing a lot?
I got a little issue going on right now. Here's the issue, okay? Remember I told you guys.
I can't lend you any money. I don't have any money. You ask Emily. I have no money to help you with your poker problem.
Just need $9,000, $9,000. That's it. I'm not asking.
They're going to break my legs,
Trav. I'm good for my word.
They showed up at my house this morning at 3 a.m. with a pipe. They're going to break my legs, Trav. I need $9,000.
That's it. They said everything will be fine. Just need the $9,000. Okay, you know how I mentioned I got
the
VR?
By the way, it's 2% on the principals, compounded daily. So I'll see you next Tuesday in front of your house.
That's awesome. I get those guys off the front door, and then I have you at the front door with a pipe in your hand.
I mentioned I got Oculus, right? I got the VR, the virtual reality. All right. Uh-huh. I haven't downloaded many apps. There's only a couple. I mean, let's be honest here. If you throw your credit card information on this VR thing, I can only imagine how much money is being made on this damn thing. Games are, hey, you want to play this game? No problem. $19.99. You want that game? That's $29.99. I'm like, what the hell? I haven't gone out of my way and done that.
For like a one-time fee, or you buy it and you have it?
You own it. You have it. Yeah, it's yours. But they're like, it's not like you're buying Madden. It's not like you're buying FIFA. You're buying a lightsaber game, or you're buying, you know, it's like kind of clown games, to be honest with you. It's not that much different than you going on your phone and you're downloading a game, whatever case it's on your phone. So one of the first games that I got, or I just downloaded, was Poker VR. All right, so it's specifics, poker virtual reality. I can't remember if I described, did I describe at all what this is and like how this works?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, you've said you completely forget that you're like in a virtual environment, that it's that real that you kind of lose track of the fact that you're sitting in your kitchen or whatever.
It's solid, but for poker specifically, if I go join, there's kind of, you know, you press the button, instant join, boom, you're at a table. There's four or five other people that are there live. You know, these are people from wherever. This dude's from Detroit. That person's from blah, blah, blah. You can talk to each other when you're playing. And you're just sitting there, and you got your chips in front of you, and you can easily, Trab, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour goes by, and you're just playing poker. So the poker references that are coming in is because basically – there's definitely been some times as of late that in my in-between time, hey, why don't I just throw this thing on and play a couple of hands? I think I'm becoming a degenerate gambler. It's not real money.
Well, that was my very first question. Well, are you playing for real dough?
Can I tell you how easy it is to get into tournaments, to go buy a couple bucks here, $25 here? Oh, no, you can play. I mean, it's as simple as I have on purpose not put my credit card information, because that's one of the first things when you set up the Oculus. Hey.
Well, you don't say.
Visa,
don't say.
MasterCard. Just let us know. Hey, we are happy.
It's one of those, for your convenience,
yeah.
Just give us your credit card number. Make it easier on you. We'll hook you up a little easier, a little quicker. Just give us the number.
You're welcome. I'm waiting for somebody just kind of this avatar come on and just, hey, come on over. Come on over. So I currently have not lost real money, but, man, it can get very, very addicting, and it's so easy that you just kick back, and all of a sudden you're playing with real people, and you're obviously playing some poker.
Do you chit-chat? Like, are you talking junk to tournament, each other? Is it quiet?
There's a tournament starting at 11 a.m., so just heads up. I got to go for about a half hour. Half hour, 45 minutes.
You can. Give me a number. I promise it's fine.
You can.
By the end of the week.
This is the funny part about it. Some people run their mouth. They run their mouth. You can. You can mute people. You can talk to people. You can have regular conversations. Yeah, it's like, I guess it's like anything, right? You can go to a table and people are cordial, cool, all that. And then you got somebody else saying, lost your money, buddy, huh? Do you really think that ace queen was going to win? It's like, who's this guy?
I don't even know how to run my mouth at poker. Like, first of all, I stink at poker, so I would not be the right guy for that game.
It's fun.
You'd have the deed to my house by the end of the night. I would have no idea. I'm sure it is fun. Playing cards is fun, but I got absolute. What, like, how do you talk, you know what, to somebody over cards? Like you said, ace queen. What are you, an idiot? I don't know the proper terminology to embarrass someone.
I think this is just like a poker thing, right? Even if you're at a casino or something like that, you're asking people, you're trying to read their cards. What do you have? Do you have something or not? Do you have that nine or whatever the case is, right? So people are going to run their mouth, and that happens. Especially, by the way, the virtual world where you're not actually physically next to somebody, people's confidence level is a little, let's just say it's a little higher.
Well, I would imagine calling someone a name over the internet is a lot easier than looking across the poker table and saying, what are you, stupid?
That doesn't happen. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
I'm just glad we've gotten through the segment. I remembered your name. I remembered the show that we're on. My memory has not failed me completely. This is very exciting. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. One of the poker references that you made was this morning, kind of talking about the Lakers have a poker hand that you don't have to fold yet, but you're in a weird spot with this whole thing.
Yeah, it's funny because I think right now it's kind of an interesting spot that the Lakers are in. I'm going to look at this. You know, you usually say, like, you look at it from a 30,000 view or whatever the case is. When we come back, I kind of want to go over this. Brian Windhorst came on Lakers Talk last night. I thought he had some interesting things to say. And I think looking at the Lakers position, as much as we sit here and we say all in, all in, all in, I think there's a bigger picture of this that we got to talk about as well.
I'll check. we'll see if what your next move, Al. You're on the big blind, and you have to decide right now. That's coming up next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One of our regulars, Al Big E, says, do you think the pizza delivery guy will think it's weird when he drops off a pizza at the Del Taco parking lot so Trav can pick up some fries as well? It's a good idea. See, this is why I put this stuff out there, Al. They're more creative thinkers out there in the world than I am. The idea of getting the pizza delivered to the place where I want the fries, that's basically the best idea I've ever heard.
It's next level. Yeah, I would have never thought of that. So I'm sure that's why you depend on Twitter more than me when it comes to some of these food takes. That makes sense.
There's never a bad idea. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I put out a little bit earlier than I typically do hey, today's an Ask Slee day. Make sure that you get them in there. We're in really good shape.
Today's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's an Ask Slee day. I'm going to curate a very good list. We've got some video Ask Slees that were done at SoFi on Monday night, including Cliff in Riverside. I got his name wrong yesterday. I think I said his name was Kurt. It's Cliff. And he was the one that said, I'm not as fat, or I don't sound as fat as I do on the radio, or something like that. It was a very backhanded way to say, you're only a little bit fat. You're not nearly as fat as you make yourself out to be. So
you should take that as a big-time compliment.
That's one of those things like, yeah, you're not that ugly. Oh, well, thank you. I think that I'm a little
He's
less
got a
ugly
really good personality. He's got yeah, that, a really
well, that's
good
a tell.
Personality.
Never say that. Yeah. That's the worst thing you can say about a person is that they've got a great first of all, who really cares? And then second of all, we all know what that means. It's never a good idea. It's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. All right, so you were talking about your conversation with Windhorst last night.
Let me play a quick clip here because I think let me also kind of set it up. Laker fans know this. Brian Windhorst has no problem being very critical on the Lakers. Like over the years, he has been critical. And I think I've always enjoyed having him on the show. Probably because of that the most. I know that he's going to give, you know, obviously a very honest opinion. It's good to get something from a different – we're here. We're in L.A. We're doing this on a day-to-day basis. We're talking about the Lakers all the time. There's kind of a scope from it as well from more of a national perspective. I thought this was interesting. So as much as we talk about the Lakers and there's certainly nothing has kind of lived up to the expectations, take a listen to him talking about how – if you bet on the Lakers at the beginning of the season, hold up for a quick second. Take a listen to Windhorst.
If you bet on the Lakers to win the title, do not destroy your ticket. Do not destroy your ticket. And that, you know, they have that, but it is going to take the great AD for this to work.
Okay, so this is why I wanted to play that, Trav. I think that it's fair to say, think about just over the last couple of weeks, the conversation, and it's starting to stir up a lot more today, or I'm sorry, these last couple of days. If I ask you, do you think Coach Vogel is going to be the coach of the Lakers through the rest of the season? What would you say?
Not a chance.
Okay.
Not. Al, and we get to this. I don't think he's going to make it through this road trip.
Okay.
I think that the axe is being sharpened as we speak. Mm-hmm. I think that the second you start seeing stories in the Times and ESPN and the Athletic and all these other places, once that blood and chum is in the water, it's a wrap. I think it's going to happen sooner than later.
I think those rumblings don't come from nowhere, and right. I think you could use sports as an example of – in the past, when these conversations start, it's really tough to get those conversations to go away. Now, there is one way for that to go away is obviously you start winning basketball games. And if you look at the schedule that the Lakers got coming up, and they got the third toughest schedule left in the NBA, they're only sitting at 500. There isn't a recipe for success just waiting around the corner. It's going to be incredibly difficult for the Lakers to kind of turn things around. Windhorst saying that if you punched your ticket before the season started for the Lakers to win a championship, hold on to it for a second. It's funny because I always look at this Lakers team, and the conversation is always it's championship or bust. They're all in. But it's been really, really difficult to have any conversation about that, because what has shown you that they can go up against a Phoenix Suns team or a Golden State Warriors team or one of these other teams in a 7-game set? And I only pay attention to this, and this is one of the things he kept referencing to. He talked about margin of error. The Lakers' margin of error is nothing. As in, if LeBron doesn't play a really, really good game, what happens to the Lakers, Trav? Are they going to win or lose that game?
They're going to get smoked.
Okay. Let's say LeBron plays a really, really good game, but nobody else contributes. What
Lakers
happens in that
game?
Smoked.
Okay.
What if LeBron plays really well? And then all the other role players play really well as well, and Russell Westbrook only has 2 turnovers, and the Utah Jazz can't hit a shot. They're not. I'm not lying when I say this.
No, it's
all
yeah,
the
I
stars
get it.
Have to align for the Lakers to just win some of these games. He says that margin of error is obviously very, very small, but one of the things that he hit on, he's like, at the end of the day, Anthony Davis is going to have to come back and be the AD from. He can't be an inconsistent great player. He's got to be a great player. And LeBron James is going to have to be exactly the player that he's been so far this year. And Russ, the success that he had in Houston in the second half of the season and in Washington in the second half of the season, which I think is a fair argument. We'll see if it happens with the Lakers. But there's a little bit of a track record to say Russ in the second half of seasons is better. In the first half, he kind of figures things out. He's like, all these stars have to align perfectly. But if they do, there's a puncher's shot. And I thought that was interesting from Windhorst, because that is definitely somebody that I wouldn't be surprised if he said, guys, ain't nothing happening with the Lakers. They're not going anywhere.
Well, that's the part that's so disheartening, that everything has to click into place, right? To use a bad poker analogy, and you're better at this than I am.
Am I?
You've got a terrible hand, and your only hope is that the cards that get flopped and turned over after that all go your way. Good luck playing cards like that. You know, it's just, I mean, once in a blue moon, you're going to win? Yeah, but not very often. It's absolutely no strategy. I want to go back to the Vogel part of all of this. You said that the way you get it to go away is to win some games. Yeah, you're right. But
and then also not to lose by 42 and 37 and players coming
out,
all that stuff. Yep.
These seeds are planted for a purpose, so this doesn't come out of left field. So people are kind of expecting it. And I don't know why people are having a hard time understanding that there are two different things happening here. Is it his fault? No. Is he going to be the one that is ultimately having to pay the price with his job? Yes. That's the way that this works. It's not, hey, the reason we're firing is because you're doing a terrible job. The reason we're firing you is because that's the only card we have to play. Mm-hmm. That we gave you this crappy lump of clay to try to build into something, and that you couldn't do it. Well, did I give you a bad? Yeah, but I'm not going to fire myself. We're not going to go find 15 new players. Ownership doesn't going to change. That this is the life of a professional coach. It's not just basketball. That if you have a bad season and you're expected to have a good season, even if there's a whole bunch of fundamental flaws in the plan, you pay the price for it. Frank Vogel knows that. I'm sorry that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. Let's not pretend that this. That I read something this morning, Al, that was saying, you know, that it had Utah gone the other way, Had that been bad, that might, it might have happened that night.
Sure.
That we're in that
part
of the
curve. If they had another game like Denver and you're getting blown out at Crypto.com
sure.
Arena and you're down 30, yeah, I could see that, okay, well, if he's already on the hot seat and you had two games in a row like that, that makes sense.
And this is the part that drives me bananas. This I do not get this.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've decided that I'm going to probably have to do this, what are we waiting for? Right? It's like getting a divorce or breaking up with your girlfriend. Once you've had the idea, you know what, I need to get a divorce. Get a divorce. Don't just sit around and make it worse and hope that, well, maybe if we do this, maybe if we save a little more money, maybe it's like, no. You've already in your mind decided that this is going to happen. Pull the plug. Move on, because the longer you wait, the worse it's going to get. And maybe you had a nice little weekend. You had a nice dinner out. Well, hey, maybe we've turned the corner. Nah, you didn't. You just, the martini was right.
Well,
let's turn that around. It's going to happen. I don't think it's going to change a lot. I think you ultimately end up in exactly the same place you're going to be, but at least it's something to do.
I do think and this is one thing I've mentioned in the past, I thought nothing would happen until the AD piece is figured out. When I say AD piece figured out, as in he actually comes back, he's part of the team again, and then if they're showing that they're not playing good basketball, then that's what they – listen, if I told you, does Frank Vogel have some outs? He does have some outs. Some of those outs are the argument can be made, well, Anthony Davis hasn't played in X amount of games. Doesn't justify the way they play, Travis. I'm just kind of – there are some outs there, right?
Yep.
Or if – you know, part of the article that we were talking about yesterday, this was in The Athletic, Bill Oram, Sam Amick. COVID kind of threw things off for not just the Lakers, everybody. Coach Vogel was out for 6 games. Do you know how long 6 games is? It's almost 2 weeks, I think.
Sure.
Something along those lines.
Sure.
So that also kind of came into play with everything. Then they went on a 4-game winning streak. Now, who'd they beat for those 4 games? They beat, obviously a number of teams that were below 500. And then you started playing some teams above 500. You lost 3 games in a row. And the part of this that I think you mentioned at the beginning is probably the most important piece. It's not that it's Coach Vogel's fault.
No.
It's that essentially a change is going to be made. That change, there's always a scapegoat in sports, and usually that scapegoat is a coach. And by the way, I mean, has it ever felt like in Coach Vogel's career with the Lakers that he was locked, solidified? This is
their guy.
I mean, he was basically the third pick when he originally got hired. Even after they won an NBA championship, there wasn't this 3-4 year extension, something along those lines. So I also think part of this is I don't know how much they've kind of sat back and said, hey, Frank Vogel's our guy. This guy's not going anywhere. And that obviously hasn't been the case so far this year as well, based upon where they're sitting.
Let's try a quick phone call here. Simi Valley and Joe. Joe, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Joe?
Yo, what's up, guys? I was actually about to sit here and say, it's a travesty to lose Frank. You guys pretty much just hit that right on the head. So I just want to sit back and say, yo, you know what's really, really funny? Big dog Kurt Rambis putting on his big boy pants. And you guys read about that?
Yes.
He showed up in the locker room or something. Dude, you've lost like 100 more games than Vogel, first of all. Like, Vogel is a much more established coach than he is or ever was. Second of all, why is Jeannie's bestie and her man running the squad? I honestly think that is way more important than whatever's going on with the team.
Okay, I want to answer those questions, Joe. Let me get in here, because here's the deal. I read that too, and my very first reaction was your reaction, like, huh? Like, what, now that the building's on fire, you're telling people to come in and not play with matches? But that's not what it was. Apparently, he sits in with them all the time and has all the time. So it's not – my first reaction was exactly yours, Joe. Like, hey, now? I don't think that's what it is. I think that he's in there frequently. So
he's involved.
Involved. So yeah. I don't have a huge problem with that. As far as, her confidant, Linda Rambis, and her husband running the – I mean, I don't know about you, Al. There are people that I trust that I lean on for advice all the time, whether they're friends and they, you know what I mean? Like, you have your group. I don't care if they're in the same business or you. You kind of bounce things off of them, say, hey, is this a good idea? Is this a bad? I have no problem with that. You have people that you trust, and you lean on them, and you ask them, and they're part of the circle.
I think ultimately, Trev, if we're going to look at what happened this offseason, Lakers went out, they traded, assets that they had. They go get Russell Westbrook. Obviously, to this point, nothing has gone as planned. Palenka,
LeBron James, Anthony Davis. If Kurt Rambis, and listen, I don't know what happens behind the scenes, but if you're going to tell me if LeBron James was adamant, hey, do not make this trade, this does not make sense, I don't think a trade like that happens. So I don't think Kurt Rambis is behind the scenes pulling every string. I do think Rob Pelinka obviously has a tremendous voice. I do think LeBron James and Anthony Davis, no question about it, are asked, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And based upon some of their opinions, I'm sure the Lakers make decisions ultimately based on their opinions.
20 years ago, one of the great dynasties in all sports was born, and it's still going on. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Ask Lee coming up in just a little bit more than 10 minutes from right now. If you want to get in, 877-710-ESPN. It's going to have to be good, Al, because we have a lot of good ones on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa, at Travis Rogers. We got a couple of good ones from SoFi Stadium on Monday night. So if you're going to call in, you need to make sure that you got your fastball ready. Today, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to get a lot of Ask Lee today. Even after 10:45, there's going to be some Ask Lee sprinkled in because I'm not going to let these die on the vine. They need to be used.
No comment.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. This is stupid. And
okay,
there are a handful of moments that I don't know why, that you just remember exactly where you were when it happened. You remember the setting, and you remember the feelings associated with it. I was finishing a round of golf at a place called Robinson Ranch up in Santa Clarita. I'm not even sure it's still there. It's been a million years since I've been there. Might still be. I don't know. We walk into the bar, and there's a football game on, playoff game on. 20 years ago today, it's taking place, and it was warm in Southern California like it can be at this time here. By the way, it's going to be 80 degrees today. Nothing to see here. Totally normal. Everything's fine. Everything's just cool. I'm going to probably get wildfires in the next week. Totally normal. Not a big deal. And it's snowing like crazy in New England, and it's the Tuck game. And Tom Brady gets hit. The ball comes out. It's a fumble. The Raiders recover. The Raiders are going to go back to the Super Bowl. The Raiders are going to the Super Bowl, okay? It's going to happen. Only it's not. And I want you to listen to this, because 20 years after the fact, this still makes no sense.
His arm was going forward, but was he throwing a football?
Well, the exact term I can't think of, but if you throw a pass, and as you're faking that pass, now watch, as you're faking the pass, if it slipped out of your hand, that would be an incomplete pass.
Oh,
but was it
really
forced out by Charles Woodson?
Charles Woodson's been on TV for 20 years.
The recoil of the fake throw is what made it come out of Tom Brady's hand.
Recoil? What are we doing, archery?
After reviewing the play, the quarterback's arm was going forward. It is an incomplete
Yep.
All right. So,
there's no all right. NFL Rule 3, Section 22, Article 2. When an offensive player is holding the ball to pass forward, an intentional forward movement of his arm starts a forward pass. Even if the player loses possession of the ball as he's attempting to tuck it back, that's all I got. I lost my breath, too.
You put it like that. You sounded like the Micro Machines guy. I like that a lot. Look.
It's the first thing that went through my mind.
Take 100 people. Take 100 people that watch football.
I know.
Take Raider fans out of it. Take Patriot fans out of it. 100 people that watch football on a regular basis, show them that play. Take the name off the back of Brady's jersey.
Yep.
Take the uniforms off. You know, do your CGI magic and erase all of the identifiers. Ask 100 people, is that a fumble? 100 people would say, yeah, of course that's a fumble. The ball got knocked out of his hands by a defender. It's a fumble. What else could it be? Duh is right. And not only was it not a fumble, it launched something that we're still dealing with today. Tom Brady's entire career kind of was put in a different level at that moment, and the Rams are going to go to Tampa Bay on Sunday and play he's on a different team now, but he's already won a Super Bowl there. we're 20 years down the road, and that stupid play, I would still, I don't, you go, oh, you know, by the letter of the, what are you going to believe? The rule book or your lying eyes? I'm going to look at my own two eyes. I know that's a fumble, and we're still in the exact same place with Tom Brady where he's just still carving people every single season.
You know what's funny? I just use this as an example. Every time you're doing a Lakers game and a review comes into play, right? So now they're going to go take, all right, did that player, did this happen? Is this a technical foul? Was it a flagrant one? Is this? And we all lose 25 minutes of our life because they take some 4 hours to just review a play that is so incredibly unnecessary in the second quarter with 8 minutes left to go and whatever it is. And I look back, those are, it takes that long and they still screw those things up. And sometimes I think there is something about the bang bang. You know, you just kind of, instincts will tell you, typically your instincts will tell you whether a play is this or it's that. That's not to say that you're not going to get it wrong or anything along those lines. 20 years ago, that play is still remembered and that screw up is still remembered. I did this because I knew this was going to be a conversation. Worst sports calls in history. And that one obviously comes up. The Rams Saints game 2019 comes up. That's a top five pick in all of them.
Huh?
Right?
What?
Like that's
what
one
are you
of them.
About? Which one? Refresh my memory. I don't remember at all. Did something happen?
Nothing happened. No, nothing happened. You're okay. They're not still reviewing it, so you don't have to don't have to worry about that.
Sure.
But that one does go down as, you know, one of the worst blown calls that ends up being a Super Bowl for the Patriots, and that's a trip that it's 20 years ago today, but it's still talked about. Like the way you're passionate about talking about it right now, I think people still kind of feel that way about that call and how ludicrous it was, how stupid it was.
It's crazy for a couple of different things. Here's the idea of replay is to fix egregious errors. That's why we decided that, you know what the best thing to do is? We have all this technology. Let's use this technology to fix obvious errors. What they use it for now is to go through it like you're a molecular biologist and try to find that millisecond where the nose of the ball was on the ground. Incomplete pass. No. He caught the damn ball. We saw him do it. That clearly was a fumble. And yet, we still have what we had last weekend. By the way, if I'm not a Raider fan, okay? But the Raiders are on the wrong end of this way too often. Raiders were on the wrong end of this in the Tuck rule. This last weekend, the referees blew the whistle. The play's over. We have the audio. We have the visual. You can go right back to it and say, oh, whistle's blown. Do over. No touchdown.
Was that third down?
I don't know what down points. It was, but it's a touchdown.
Yep.
You know, it's like you said, at worst it's four extra points, or best it's four extra points. At worst it's seven extra points. You know, who's to say it doesn't get blocked? Who's to say there isn't a bad snap? There's a million things that can happen. That we use it for dumb stuff like this is just incredible to me. That this is the way that we've decided to implement this technology is awful.
By the way,
awful.
I saw this too. There's going to be a 30 for 30 on the Tuck rule, so that's coming out in February.
I'll never understand that. If I'm a Raider fan, why would I want to relive that? Why would I want to re-experience
for a Raider
arguably
fan,
the worst moment?
For a Raider fan, you wouldn't, but it just kind of shows. This is why 30 for 30s are so great. They're going to isolate that one play, and they're going to talk about what could have happened, and they're going to talk about would the Raiders have won it all. Like, that does make it kind of fascinating and interesting that spending a full 30 for 30 on that one moment, that one play, 20-year anniversary. I think a lot of people will watch it. I certainly will.
All right. Ask Slee is really good today. So if you've got your chance, send it in right now, at Travis Rogers, at Alan Sliwa. You can call 877-710-ESPN. I almost forgot that, too. I've only been saying that number every day for 7 years. I'm fine. Nothing going on here. Just can't remember my own name or my own phone number. Everything's cool. I am not going to forget Ask Slee. That's next. Travis Slee, 710-ESPN. All three ways, Al. We have it on Twitter. We have it on the phones. We have it on video. We're going to start. I always love new blood in Ask Slee. We're going to go to Monrovia and Yvonne. Hashtag Ask Slee. What do you got, Yvonne?
Hey, yo, Ask Slee. So if you're at a traffic stop and you look over to the guy to your left and he's rocking out to Village People YMCA, and he locks eyes at you and he points to you right at the chorus hit. Do you sing back and do the hand gestures, or do you roll up your window and pretend you don't see him and just wait for the drink?
I mean, that's a great question. Just a great question. By the way, I love the traffic situations. Those are probably my favorite ones. If he's going out of his way, he's feeling the song, he's going out of his way to churn towards me and like, hey, it's your churn, let me just throw it up. Why not? Little YMCA action. I'm with him. Because just think about usually the vibe that you get when you're on the road. You're on the hurry to get somewhere. Somebody's always pissed off. Somebody cuts you off. If you got somebody giving out some good vibes, how do you not throw back a YMCA to them? So, Ivan, I'm full in. If anybody sees me on the road, they want to rock that, I'm all in.
Even as somebody who reportedly lacks whimsy, I'm giving you the YMCA. I'm going to sing it. I'm going to do the hands. I'm going to do the whole thing because why not, right?
I'll steer with my knee, make sure I throw up everything.
I don't know if while the car is actually moving, it's a great idea for you to go Indian Chief or cop. I don't think that's a great idea, but the rest of it, at a red light, that's probably the better. Speaking of, Al, here's your next one. This is from Jacob. Jacob writes, when Al pulls up to a red light, why do people want to know your shopping and your driving habits? But that's another question for another day. When Al pulls up,
you know why?
Line.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because we're all in these positions on a day-to-day basis. So everybody kind of works these scenarios differently.
All right. Al pulls up to a red light. There's a pretty girl stopped next to him. Does he look away before making eye contact, stare like a lonely teenager, or give her the nod?
Give her a nod and say, I have a girlfriend, but you look great. You look great. You look very pretty. You went out of your way. You dressed up very nice to see this.
You still give the little smile and the little, hey, I see you over there. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. You can't be the weird creeper who just stares at her. That's no good. And you can't be the weirdo who immediately looks away, because that's almost just as weird as continuing to stare. You just, hey, I see you over there. Have a nice day. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Keep it moving.
This is not even a, well, I'm staring because she's really pretty. Anybody who stares at anybody, it's weird, right? Like, it doesn't even matter what the game. If you lock eyes with somebody that's a stranger and it's longer than 3 seconds, how do both parties not feel uncomfortable after that?
We got to lean into it. You got to hold it as long as possible and make the other person break off the eye contact. And then you're one
What's
step
the goal?
Away from being a predator. But yeah, no, the goal is you're just trying to make the other person uncomfortable at that point. All right, this goes back to SoFi Stadium. In fact, this is Cliff from Riverside, Al, who he was the one that said, you don't sound as fat, or you don't look as fat as you sound on the radio. Something along those lines. Cliff, okay. Hashtag Ask Slee.
Hey, Slee, what's the funniest way you've been injured?
I don't know if I could hear that. Did you catch that?
Did he say
out?
The funniest way you've been injured?
Oh, yeah. Funniest way you've been injured.
Bro, okay. I have one of these. Okay. I could say, oh, well, you know, you're playing basketball, you turn an ankle. Okay, it happens, right? One time I was playing basketball, dude, just, you ever play pickup and the guy just doesn't play basketball? He's a football player. But people, you know, this is very common. You go play pickup games and there are people that this is not what they do. I don't know what the hell he was doing one time. He demolished my knee. Okay, that's not even a funny story. There was a time I was in a hurry and I'm at my parents' house, and to get, I'm leaving from the garage, and from the garage, like inside the house, there's two kind of pretty big steps to get to the bottom, and then you go from there. There's a fan. Remember those fans? I think the fans have kind of changed, but anyways, it's got the four legs. It's like
sure.
One,
I know
two,
exactly
three,
what
four.
You're
okay.
About. Yeah.
I jumped in a hurry from there to the bottom of the garage, straight ankle sprain. Like I fell, or my, you know, I landed on one of the legs of the fan. Bro, the person who was waiting for me in the car, I'm in a hurry. I can't even get to them because I'm now on the ground holding my ankle until they have to come inside and be like, what's going on here? And I got to explain that I jumped off the top rope and I turned my right ankle. That's the best one I got.
That's not bad. Very quickly, when I worked on the Angels radio station for a while, every year right before the season starts, they have a little fun run 5K, right? And I would participate and I would run. And I'm going through it, and you kind of run through the city of Anaheim, and then you come back and you finish at the Big A. And as you're running down, I think it's Gene Autry Boulevard, right? You know those reflectors in the middle of the road that kind of delineate the lines?
Yeah.
I just flat out trip on one of those yard sale in the middle of the street. Yes. There goes this was like in the days of iPods, right? So I had an iPod in my hand. And so I'm down, my sunglasses go flying, iPod goes flying, my hat comes off, I scrape the you-know-what out of both of my knees, my elbow. It was, they were one step away from calling the ambulance over to pick me up. It was that bad. People are, dude, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm a spaz. I'm embarrassed, but yard sale in front of hundreds of people. At a fun
there,
run.
There is, and I'm sure everybody's done this. You go for a jog or something along those lines. Why is it that, like, the moment the surface of the ground, the concrete is just 1 inch up, okay?
That's it.
Just 1 inch or lower than an inch up.
Millicentimeter.
Why does my toe hit that and then I'm just tumbling over? That's definitely happened as well.
Because we're not coordinated athletic human beings. That's why. John writes, my next door neighbor's selling his house. When the new neighbors move in, do I introduce myself first or wait for them to initiate and treat them as non-equals? I don't quite get the second part, but what do you think, Al?
Yeah, you make the first move, go over there. Hey, just wanted to, you know what, even if maybe you guys, maybe you go grab, I don't know, you either want to make something or go to the grocery store, grab one of those like desserts that they have, just something nice, some cookies. Just want to say hello, welcome to the neighborhood. That's a good move right there.
It is. It's probably the right thing to do. I tend to err more on the, I'm going to wait to run into you in the front yard at one point, and then I'll introduce myself and lie and say I meant to come over, but, you know, I apologize. I'm that guy. If we never meet each other, I'm also okay with that.
Like, well, you can make the first move, but then after that, if it then becomes, hey, you guys should come over and this,
we're not doing that.
Just trying to be a nice neighbor.
I've got a full quiver of friends. Don't need any more.
Do you remember in Step Brothers when they're trying to sell the home? And then
he's dead. They have them all blue.
It's just good.
It's good. All right. This one is from Dave. Dave writes, when a car stops to let you cross, when a car stops to let you cross, do you nod and take your sweet-ass time, or do you wave and give them a 10 to 12-foot courtesy jog?
You mean when you're outside. Okay.
This
is actually, you know what I don't understand? And this was just recently as well. Listen, when you're crossing the street and there's 8 seconds left on the clock. Let's keep it moving here. All right? There's 3-4 cars behind me. We're all looking to turn right. And when you're taking your sweet-ass time crossing the street, not paying any attention to what's going on the road, I don't know why I find that so disrespectful. So usually when I'm in that position, I am letting them know. I am speeding up on purpose so you guys can get a couple cars
spot
to
on
go before the light turns red.
That's exactly right. Hey, look, there people are waiting for you.
Let's
pick
doing?
It up. I'm not asking you to turn into Usain Bolt. Let's at least kind of double whatever speed you are at. Let's pick it up a little bit from that.
And then there's this like kind of I'm going slow. I'm a cool. I'm like, move along here. What are we doing?
All right. Ryan in La Jolla in school. Were you a sit in the front row or back row guy?
Back row.
Because?
Back row, I always felt like, first of all, you're not like screaming for attention. You're in the front row. The teacher's right there. He might call on you on something. I'm good on that. And I think back row, there's something about just kind of everything's in front of you. You're observing everything. You kind of see who's doing what's going on. You feel like you have like a – it's a better viewpoint. Do you want to be on the surface street or would you rather be up on a little bit of a hill so you kind of see what's going on?
All right, Jason Levine, hashtag Ask Slee. Now that Santa Slee has been put to bed, which other seasonal characters will you play? St. Valentine Slee, Shamrock Slee, or Sleester Bunny? By the way, if we haven't already started on a Sleester Bunny promotion, we're doing it wrong. I picture a rabbit suit. I picture ears. I think there's a lot we can do with the Sleester Bunny.
Yeah, no, I'm so all over that. Let's go Shamrock. I think Shamrock would be – that's the one that's kind of funnest of them all. Hey, just go get hammered for a day. You know, don't you like – this is just kind of part of what we do in the States. It's not just in the States, other places. It's just an excuse. Halloween's a perfect example. When did Halloween become – remember in the college days where Halloween became like – I remember at San Diego State, It was the biggest three-day event you could possibly think of. People are dressing up. There this, there that. What's the excuse? To just go drink. That was the only excuse. Just to go party.
It's March.
And that's the same thing with St. Patrick's Day. That's the same thing with Cinco de Mayo. That's the same thing. All of these are literally just an excuse to go party.
Yeah. Why not? I'm here. One more, and let's. This has basically been a themed day. This is a new name. Always love new names.
Perry Traffic
King. It is. Yes.
Okay.
When driving down the highway, how you doing it? One hand on the wheel with a little lean back, or two hands looking like Steve Mason? I've never seen Mace drive a car, so I don't know. But see, it, my mental image kind of adds up.
You need one hand is what you need. You really do. Because, you know, the other hand could be doing something else. Maybe rookie's in the car. I got to give this guy a couple little rubs on the top of the head. Maybe I'm doing something on my phone, which is on the dock. I got my phone up on a, you know, little dock thing. So I'm going on YouTube, listening to something, changing the... You need one hand to be doing other things. So definitely one hand on the car. Now, am I leaning back to where I can't see over the seat? No. Or I can't see over the steering wheel? No, I'm not. But at the same time, all I need is one hand. One hand is plenty.
See, as a Silverado driver, I like to be leaned way back and just make sure that everybody knows my ethos as a trucker is out there, and I can kind of just take over the entire road. It feels very, very good.
You know what would be awesome? If that's the song you have while you're driving up and down.
It's all I have. I have it on repeat.
Exactly.
From
it's
my
just
phone.
On repeat. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is he – why is he continuing to play Like a Rock? That's the ad for the car. Yeah, I know.
It's just the chorus. I don't even play the whole song. I just play Like a Rock over and over.
You had somebody, like you had your son do it, and it's, you know, hey, can you put this on repeat? And it's not smooth at all. Like you just hear it continuing over and over again.
Yeah, it's not well done. It's not a professional. It's this. It's what Taylor is playing right now. Ask Lee is brought to you by Harrah's Casino or Harrah's Resort SoCal. Awesome. Voted best resort in Funner, California, from dining to unwinding. Nothing beats a getaway at Funner, California. Start planning your trip by visiting harrahssocal.com. I don't know how we got here, but I like this a lot, Al. I kind of had an idea in the middle of this. Today, inadvertently, was kind of a themed Ask Slee, like all traffic car-related Ask Slee.
Might be something there.
I was just going to say, I'm throwing it up to you. You can hit us on Twitter. You can hit us on the phones, 877-710-ESPN. Other themed Ask Slee days, holidays, alcohol, foods, whatever you got, cars. I feel like we got a lot of opportunities here, 877-710-ESPN. All right.